Flashback Twin Cities on KLDB Club 1220. Tom Osmond here with our friend Tom Hsu.
Good morning.
On a happier Saturday morning than we last. Not that we weren't happy that Jason Davis of Channel 5 came, but we're going to have to do the bail the flashback host out of jail show the next week had I crossed any more police lines. And again, not to disparage the good work that our state troopers did, and everyone on the scene. It was an unfortunate incident, and again, I thought it was a parade. I thought I was crossing the parade guards.
As the kids say, the word on the street is that you don't cross the police line. That's the theory, anyway.
The word on the street is I just need to stay away from any time there's a police around, which has tended to work most of the last few years.
It's all right. I'm glad you didn't get in there. You didn't get taken away. I'm glad you made it here.
That would have
been very awkward for me.
It would have been a fun hour. That was my whole selling point. I'm not here. We're gonna have a lot of clips on the air. there's a our friend Jason Davis will be locked out. He'll be at the Valley Bookstore for an hour, but who knows? Maybe that would have been an improvement. We don't know.
I'm just very glad Jason got through here. No problem. Man, that guy's a nice fella.
He was fun. Great stories. There's someone who's done a little traveling in his life.
Just a smidge over to like Beirut and, well, pretty much every dangerous location on Earth.
Talk about a background, the equivalent of a merchant marine, and not J school. He was hauling cargo before any of us were even.
I don't know how many reporters can claim to have started as a merchant marine.
There's only one that I know. So we have a big day here. We are going to announce our sponsor, the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting, has announced their inductees into the 2013 Broadcast Hall of Fame. So I'm going to read the list, and let's see how many you know here, Tom, okay?
All right.
This sounds cryptic, but these are those that are living. Mick Elsamo, current vice president and general manager of CBS Radio Minneapolis and former Minneapolis market president of Clear Channel Radio.
Oh, wow.
Some companies we don't talk about here. Dick Bramer, the television voice of the Minnesota Twins for 30 years. You know Dick Bramer.
Yeah, if you have been the voice of a sports team for 30 years, especially something that high profile, you probably do a good job.
Kim Catola.
That one I don't know.
Actually, you may know her as Kim Jeffries, whose 30-year career as a Minnesota broadcaster and pioneer in faith and community service has been an inspiration to all who ever listened to her. She was on from 1978 to 1997, host and news anchor on KS95, from 1997 to 1998, a reporter on WCCO-TV, from 1998 to 2004, host and co-host of WCCO Radio, and from 2005 to the present, she has been host of Along the Way, a faith-based show on KTIS Radio.
Wow. I always want. How do people have time to do all these things? I mean, I can hardly handle one job at a time.
Time and will. Bob Johnson, owner and operator of KRBI AM-FM, St. Peter, Minnesota, for 46 years.
Oh, wow.
Mark Rosen, whose career as a sports announcer, director, anchor, host, and now author, has made him part of the Minnesota family for more than 40 years.
See, I thought he was already in.
He was not. He hosted it about 3 years ago. He hosted the event, which was a great great night. And again, I encourage everyone to buy a ticket and go. I'll tell you the details in just a second here. Barry Zavan, a former guest of ours, KSDP-TV's Peekaboo Weatherman. He was also at Channel 11 and Channel 23.
I think our Facebook picture of you and him is going to be worth money.
That is worth
money. I don't know if a Facebook picture can be worth money, but it's going to be.
he will be on, actually, in a few weeks. We're going to have Barry back on.
Awesome.
We're going to have some of our inductees on Flashback Twin Cities.
Oh, man. When I told my parents that he was going to be here, they were just excited as all heck. Well, peekaboo weatherman.
Tell them to get tickets because the studio audience here fills up fast. You have to call 651-275-1220. And Tom will coordinate that.
All right. Let's try that.
Studio audience. Last week we had a studio audience larger than we've ever had. We had Jason Davis' security team, you know, his three triplet grandchildren who came with him like his entourage.
And you know, the time before that, I had camera guys in here with me.
We did record the bed cradling Al Lotzberg event, which we'll work on getting a video on that. That's going to take some time. I think Pat's calling in too, actually. I'll keep reading while you take Pat's call. Jack Thayer from WLOL to WTCN to WDGY to president of NBC Radio. Jack Thayer was one of the most influential forces in the history of television, radio, and television. He was host of Jack's Corner Drugstore on WTCN-TV, which started just days after WTCN-TV went on the air. In 1956, Todd Storrs of WDGY lured him away from his two TV shows and radio show on WTCN. He was, in 1957, a profile on TV Radio Mirror. They described him as the king of disc jockeys, later VP and general manager of WDGY, and 1974, president of NBC Radio, responsible for the company's owned and operated radio stations and network. Unfortunately, passed away January 1st, 1995, of a heart attack in Providence while visiting friends at the age of 72. The 2013 Distinguished Service Award will be awarded to consulting engineer Clifford J. Thornford, whose patience, skill, and charity kept many rural Minnesota stations on the air. Unfortunately, Clifford passed away March 21st, 2010, at age 92. So again, the Minnesota Broadcast Hall of Fame will be held at 7 Sushi Ultra Lounge in Sky Bar, Sunday, September 29th, 2013. The reception social hour will begin at 6 p.m., and the award ceremony will start at 7:30 p.m., and I highly recommend people going to it. It's a great event. They play a video of each inductee, and it's a great time to meet some people. Hall of Fame inductees. Our own Stan Turner is one of the inductees. Lots of great people. I think we probably have Pat on the line. Our guest today is Pat Miles, formerly of WCCO-TV, WCCO Radio, and CARE TV. We'll be joined by Pat Miles when we come back on Flashback Twin Cities here on KLBB. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond on KLBB, with my special guest, Pat Miles. Welcome, Pat.
Thank you, Tom. Nice to be there.
Thank you for being here. I know that you're enjoying your time off after TV and radio, and I know that just glad to have you here. It's a great pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
Pat, I'd like to talk to you about when you first came here. I won't give the year, but it was... I'll give the year. 1978, he come to town to do the weekend anchor shift at WCCO with Don Shelby. And you were a Missouri native, and did you ever think that you would end up in Minneapolis, St. Paul?
No, actually not. In fact, I was working in Denver and got a call to come and audition for this job for the weekend newscast with Don Shelby and had absolutely no intention of taking it. But I thought it was a free trip to Minnesota, and I'd never been to Minnesota, so I thought it would be fun to go and check it out. And actually, Don picked me up at the airport. We had never met each other, and we spent the day together and then did the audition late in the afternoon. I think it was on a Saturday. And just had I absolutely adored him, had a great time with him, and really loved Minneapolis. It was one of those days in Minneapolis when the sun was shining, and you probably don't remember this because you're too young, but on the Nicollet Mall, they used to play classical music, and people handed out free cigarettes, and Don and I at the time both smoked.
What?
So this was like heaven for us. We strolled down Nicollet Mall and absolutely had an incredible time.
Nice weather.
The audition. It was a beautiful day. It was one of the days that we're longing for right now. It was sunshine and 75, and flowers were all in bloom. It was just gorgeous. And I thought, this is Mecca. I mean, I love this place.
Nice weather, so classical music, and cigarettes. I like it.
Things have changed just a little bit.
I mean, things have changed just a little bit, exactly.
I think giving away cigarettes is a felony now in the state. I think that if you hand one to someone.
It probably is. But seriously, that is true. They had these people that would stroll down the mall and hand out free cigarettes. That's the strangest thing, isn't it?
It must have worked. They knew the audience pretty well, classical music and people strolling down the mall.
Well, I remember one of our other guests said, you know, everybody smoked in the news industry. Every single person did.
Oh, if you didn't, you weren't a true journalist. I mean, even when I was in journalism school.
That was your badge.
If you didn't, you weren't a true journalist. You just weren't. I mean, you weren't real.
Not to divert topic that too much, but we have this video online of the old newsroom.
Smoke coming up between. Don and I used to smoke during the commercials on the set, and there would be times when we couldn't get the cigarettes out fast enough, and when we come back on the air, you could see in between us smoke coming up. That's a true story, by the way.
You're giving me a mission to find more video. Now I need to find this videotape that exists.
No, I actually used to have some. I don't know what happened to it. I mean, I think we destroyed those because we were so embarrassed. But that is true. I mean, we would smoke in between, you know, stories, and then sometimes even while we were doing the newscast. It was just weird when I think about it now.
I have to look back at all those older videos and find the Easter egg, the wisp of smoke rising up.
Exactly, and if you look closely, you'll see it, Tom.
I have a mission now. I'm going to look and find screenshots. I was corresponding with you today, and I thought I'd send you a couple screenshots to kind of get you in the flashback mode today. I hope you appreciated those today.
If you had ever visited the old WCCO newsroom, when I started, we were in the basement of the building on 9th Street, and everyone smoked, and if you walked downstairs, it was so filled with smoke, you almost couldn't see people. That's how smoky it was.
This is great insight. We don't have as a viewer this inside baseball of the newsroom. Pat Miles, my guest today. Let's talk a little bit more about this day. You come here, and I've talked to a lot of guests here who they say the first time they come to Minnesota, there's a blizzard and the power lines are down. But they offer them this great job, and they were working in some small market, and they come here. You had the opposite idea. You didn't want to work here. You come here. The weather, in spite of itself, the weather was so great you wanted to work here. I'm guessing that the first winter you worked here, the winter was a little harsher than both St. Louis or Denver.
Oh, I thought I was going to die, actually. I was so cold, and I had no clothes. I did not have the right clothes. I was not prepared. I mean, for any of it, not my car, not my body, nothing. It was so unbelievably, and it was one of those winters where it snowed like 1,000 feet. I can remember sending my mom and dad a picture of my sidewalk, and the snow was higher than I was, just disheveled to get into my doorway. So that was a wild awakening. Once I got here and lived through a winter, but you know, after that, you figure it out. You figure out how to keep your car warm and yourself warm.
And they set you and Don Shelby up on kind of a blind date. He had not had the job either. He just was assigned to go pick you up, and
he was he flew in and first, and then he waited for me, and then I flew in after he did, and so we got the cab together and went to downtown, and our audition wasn't until late in the afternoon. So
sure.
I think they kind of wanted to see if we got along. So he was working in Houston at the time, and I was working in Denver. So
right. We
became fast friends, almost, I would say, instantaneously.
And I think that's evident. It was not a fake camaraderie that we as a viewer saw. I think that you in different formats, different time slots, you anchored together for the next 10 years.
We did, and we kind of took different paths. Don ended up doing the I-team, the investigative reporting unit, and I went on to start anchoring with Dave and Doug Moore and Skip Loescher, and we didn't come back together until many years later.
You know,
we kind of took different paths, but remained you know, extraordinarily close friends to this day.
Let's listen to some of those early moments from your anchoring career here in Minnesota. I have a clip I want to play here. If you want to go ahead and play that, Tom.
Good evening, everyone. In the local and regional news this Wednesday evening, co-defendant Donald Larson takes the stand in the Virginia Piper kidnapping retrial. A local follow-up to a U.S. Senate car theft investigation, which shows that auto theft rings are flourishing around the country. Minneapolis police, meanwhile, get out of their cars and go for a walk. And Bud Wilkinson of the St. Louis Cardinals takes a walk before the season ends.
Okay, Pat, safe to pick up your cigarette again. The gone to commercial. There you are with Dave Moore and Bud Kraling. Typical 6 p.m. newscast, November 1979.
Oh, it's hard. You know, it's actually hard to remember all of that. I'll tell you a very interesting Dave Moore story. This is kind of behind-the-scenes stuff, but, you know, Dave was a very exceptional, rare, wonderful person, as you know, and also a great teacher to all of us. All of us who were, you know, so much younger than he was at the time. But Dave used to wear the same clothes over and over and over again. Constantly he would wear, and he had one jacket he loved. It was an old, kind of a yellow linen jacket. And it was, you know, he would come to work and we would all just kind of go, oh my gosh, he's got that jacket on again. Oh my God. So anyway, shortly after Dave died, I was at there's a tailor shop I go to, and these young Asian women who run the tailor shop said, Pat, we don't know what to do, but we have a jacket of Dave Moore's, and, you know, we know he's passed away, and we don't know what to do with it. And it was the yellow linen jacket. And so they said, we want to give you this jacket. And so they gave it to me, and I ended up giving it to Don. And I'm not exactly sure what he did with it, but they might have, like, framed it and have it on the wall somewhere at WCCO. I'm not sure.
I think I know the jacket you're talking about, actually, because I think I've seen that
jacket.
Do you
remember the jacket?
Pat, I think we have it on the website, actually, because I think that he's worn it in multiple newscasts that we have on tcmedianow.com.
He wore it at least 3 to 4 times a week.
Then I'm fairly confident that's the one that we're both thinking of right now, because I think we have that online at tcmedianow.com.
I bet you do. But anyway, Don has the jacket, and I'm not quite sure what he did with it, but they had actually put patches on the elbows of the jacket because he had worn them out.
You know, when a good thing works for you, don't give it up. But obviously for 30 years in the same job, if it's that jacket that brought him good luck, I would be hesitant to give it up, too.
I don't even think it was about luck with Dave. I think he was just such a practical, frugal, humble man. I mean, he was like, I really shouldn't be making this much money. I'm not really working that hard. This isn't. He drove an old jalopy. He was an interesting guy. We used to get mad at him because we felt like he was holding us all back. If you can't pay Dave that much, then how are you going to pay us?
And that's just it. I mean, that was the era. If you look at Los Angeles, New York, or even mid-sized markets, the contracts of TV, we get a lot of jokes here about the Anchorman era, or, you know, some of these movies of the era. This was the time where people were demanding big contracts, multi-year contracts, lots of money, and Dave kept things pretty humble here in Minneapolis.
He basically kept us all in our place.
Number one in town, and Just happy to have a job, and that's why Dave was around for 30 years. I don't mean to discount his good fortune by luck. I do want to play another promo here. This is one from the first year you were on the air. I think you might enjoy this.
Pat Miles and Don Shelby are more than weekend anchors on WCCO Television News. They're working reporters. Throughout the week, their special reports can be seen at 5, 6, and 10. One of Pat's special assignments is Health Beat, Don's investigative reporting. So when you see Miles and Shelby weekends on Channel 4, remember, you can see them weeknights as well. There really is more, and Miles and Shelby on WCCO Television News at 5, 6, and 10.
More, Miles and Shelby.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, I hardly even remember. You know, there was quite a controversy about some of the promos with with myself and Don when we first started, because they did one marketing campaign, and it was called Tonight Together.
Oh, my. That's a little bit of a lead on, isn't it?
It was really, it became extremely controversial because, you know, we were both basically the same age. And
well, Pat and Don are very close to, we have this ad on tcmedianow.com. Don and Pat are very close together. I think this was on buses. This was on billboards. This was in newsprint. And I think they're kind of, it's a taster's choice kind of, thought. It's some implied chemistry that us as the viewer are supposed to be intrigued by. But
Exactly. I mean, we the marketing part of it, we didn't even pay attention to, but that I just remember that particular campaign was extremely controversial. And Dave was always extremely mad about the more, more, and more, because, first of all, he didn't really think he needed a co-anchor.
Whether it be you or anyone else.
He really didn't want a co-anchor who had the same last name.
Let's talk about that a second, because there's a lot of people here who don't know what you're talking about. I do, but there was another Moore for about 5 years on Channel 4.
Doug Moore and Dave Moore. They brought a young Doug Moore in to anchor with Dave because at the time, obviously, everybody was concerned about demographics and getting younger viewers. And so they thought if they brought a younger man in with Dave, who was getting older, and older now seems very young to me right now, what he was. But you can imagine how Dave would resent that. I mean, he was the number one anchor in town. He was the best anchor in town. But they not only brought a younger man in, but they brought a younger man in who had his last name. So everybody thought that Doug Moore was Dave Moore's son, which made it even more horrible for Dave.
And that couldn't have been farther from the truth, actually. There was not a lot of resemblance, nor a lot of, one can make the argument they didn't have the same ideals.
Oh, it was a complete disaster in almost every way. And I thought Dave Moore handled it with extreme grace. And it was tough for Doug, too. Doug eventually ended up going to California and became quite successful out there. So it worked out for both of them in the end, but boy, that was a tough stretch.
Well, I'd like to add some fuel to that little fire here. I actually have a promo, More and More and Miles. I showed this to you, Pat, when we met last time. I'm going to play some audio of that right now.
Dave Moore, warm, inspirational, the Twin Cities' most recognized and respected anchorman. Pat Miles, perceptive, intelligent, a top-notch Twin City journalist. Doug Moore, confident, professional, with an involvement in the community that goes beyond his job as anchor.
Good evening, Pastor Straw.
And there's only one place you can find this exceptional news team. Cronkite & Company, only on Channel 4.
There you go. More and More and Miles.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
Cronkite and Company.
I don't remember any of this, by the way.
This is what I'm here for. Pat Miles, my guest today. You can see these videos on tcmedianow.com. And, Pat, I want to ask you another question. So I really enjoy hearing your stories of Dave Moore, but I'm guessing when you first came to town, you first come to Channel 4, which was a heritage station. This was one of the oldest stations in the country, and one of the more established news teams. Dave Moore and Bud Kraling weren't just, they've been there since TV was invented, pretty much. That
exactly.
Had to have been a little intimidating for you to walk into this. Not only are these gentlemen, they're older than you, they're more experienced than you, and to them, they're looking at what are these young people coming in to take our jobs, from. And I know that they are wonderful human beings who wouldn't have said that or done anything to that, but there had to have been a little bit of adjustment period when you came to town.
Oh, there's no question about it. But, I was so fortunate, Tom. I mean, I worked with so many great people. But I had to work hard, and I really had to prove myself. And you didn't just walk in there and expect people to think that you were all those things they just said on the promo. You actually had to do something. And I can remember we used to do these town meetings. I don't know if you remember
that. A town hall meeting.
Yes, and that we broadcast them. I mean, they would be like 1 or 2 hours long, and it was amazing. But they were like very long documentaries. But I did one with Dave, and I can remember prepping and working to do that for weeks and weeks and weeks. And when we went on the air, I not only knew more about the subject than anybody else there, but I was so much more involved and on top of the topic than Dave was, that he was blown away. I mean, he was truly blown away, and I think that's when I turned a corner with him. But you didn't just, you had to earn it. I mean, you had to earn it at WCCO. It was not given away.
No, and I think that even, I mean, this is a different market. Markets around the country, and I've done a lot of research on different markets and what, you know, TV means to different people and different, you know, media formats. This is not a market that flash and glamour is accepted very fast. That's why you don't see a ton of people from out of town that come here and making it work right away. It takes a long time of credibility, and Minnesota news viewers, especially your Channel 4 viewers or Channel 5, Channel 11, they're really used to their news anchors, are used to their media people. Every night they want the same people. They want people they can trust. And Channel 4 put on a great product, and they still do. But, I mean, especially at this point, the amount of community affairs programming, the amount of documentaries, the Moore reports, the town halls, as you said, these were a big deal.
Well, I think what Minnesota appreciates is authentic. I mean, it seemed to me that was the one characteristic that always seemed to be successful here, is authentic.
And Pat, I want to address another point, and you don't talk about this much. When I was fortunate enough to be at your Hall of Fame induction a few years ago, we hadn't had a lot of co-anchors that were females here when you first joined the 6 o'clock news in 1979. Susan Spencer had done it for a while and then went to the network, but we hadn't had female co-anchors. Talk to me a little bit about that. Was there pressure behind you? Was that a challenging to work your way through the newsroom, which was probably male dominated?
I think it was, Tom. I don't think I realized it at the time. I think I was just so excited and really involved in what I was doing. I just wanted to do a good job, and I wanted to do it well. And it was difficult. I can remember going into the news director a few years after I'd started, and Don had told me at some point, kind of slipped out, how much he was making. And I was making about half of what he was making. And I remember going into the news director and saying, you know, I'm only making half of what Don's making, and that just doesn't seem right, because we're basically doing the same job. And I remember him saying, Pat, he is a man. And I went,
I forgot.
That explains everything.
I forgot about that. But, actually, when he said, well, he's a man, it didn't upset me, because that's the world that it was back then. It did later upset me, but at that time, it was like, yeah, that's right, men make more. It just was accepted.
It's kind of floors us here. We're actually listening to this to think in 2013 how someone could be so blatant. Today they'd lie to you and they'd say something like, well, you know, they'd make up an excuse of why he was doing that. They wouldn't be so blatant with that kind of remark.
Yeah, I think exactly. Back of, like, you know, TV shows like Mad Men or something that goes back into that kind of time period, and everyone just accepted it. It wasn't strange. It wasn't bizarre. It's just how it was.
It didn't feel good. It didn't feel good,
but it
also was the way the world was back then.
So you did the anchoring at 6 o'clock, and then eventually you did it at 10 o'clock when Doug went to California. You got the 10 o'clock spot. So you did two shows with Dave Moore for about three or four years, and went back to doing news with Don. But you made a couple big career highlights that I think that are just fascinating is your trip to Ethiopia, for one.
Well, actually, it was Sudan.
I'm sorry, Sudan. Pardon me.
It was Sudan, yes. We did actually try to go into Ethiopia, but at the time it was just too dangerous. There was a war going on, and we couldn't. Had we gone over the border and gotten caught, we probably would not be talking to you right now. But so my producer actually wanted, Mike Meyrendorf actually wanted to do it. We got in a huge fight over it. But I was like, you can't take the cameras over there, because if you get killed and the cameras get confiscated, we won't have a documentary.
But, you know, sometimes you got
to
be practical.
That was an amazing trip, actually. Sudan was an amazing place to be, and it was, you know, back in the 80s during the famine, and it I came back an extremely changed person from that experience.
Whose concept was that? Was that something that you had thought of, or was that something that one of the producers or news directors thought of?
No, it was actually something that I wanted to do, and back then we could pretty much do whatever we wanted to do. They had money, and you could travel, and they wanted longer stories, and, you know, it's the opposite of what it is now. But back then, we could do what we wanted to do. So.
That had to have been a fun era. I mean, let's not say that it was a fun trip, but just the fact that you could do all these creative or very informative projects, which when you went to journalism school or college, you dreamed of doing, and then you were able to do it.
It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. I mean, it was truly an education that you couldn't even pay for. I mean, I got to travel the world. I got to meet everybody I wanted to meet. It was a wonderful way to live vicariously.
I have a clip here I want to play for you before we go to our break. This is Dave Moore's final 10 p.m. newscast. This is also a video that's on the website. This is Dave kind of giving you a nod.
Gifted journalist, and this one has had your solid approval for 3 years, and for the last 3 months she has been carrying more than her share of the load, I might add. As soon as she drops that bomb, she's going to be in good shape.
Dave, it has been an honor and a privilege to sit next to you, and any success that I may have, you know, it goes to you, and I thank you.
I thank you for your patience.
And I'm going to miss you.
If you want any help with the big words, I'll be around.
All right. That's going to do it for tonight's 10. Thank you very much for joining us. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
He's still there for the big words, Pat.
He was, you know, it just makes me miss him.
We as viewers, I never met the man, unfortunately, but his presence is needed today. We do miss him.
Yeah, Dave was very special, extremely special. I feel blessed that I had an opportunity to know him and work with him.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll be more back with Pat Miles and talk a little bit about the latter days of Channel 4 and then that big move to that station across town on Flashback Twin Cities here on KLBB. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osman, with my guest Pat Miles, former WCCO-TV, former Care TV, and current golfer and gardener, I'm guessing, right now.
Well, it's not raining.
Yeah, it's not been a... Are you regretting coming back here this summer? Are you wishing you're still
in
Arizona?
No. I absolutely love it here. I absolutely love it here. This is home.
It's been very green, at least. It's been very green.
I mean, it's... We talk about the weather in Minnesota. That's what we do.
We spend at least the first 10 minutes of our show talking about the weather.
It's really strange. Any other state, I've talked to people about the weather, and they just think I'm trying to blow them off. I think it's fascinating.
You know, in Chicago, they talk about traffic like we talk about weather, though, because traffic is an update every 5 minutes in Chicago.
True.
Pat, did you think you were going to live here 35 years when you came here? Did you think this was going to be a stop somewhere else?
No, I never thought I would. I mean, in a million years. If you had asked me way back when, I didn't even know where Minnesota was. So the fact that I ended up here was just really kind of a miracle.
At what point did you consider this home? Was there a point where you weren't just kind of holding out for the next big thing? You thought, this is where I am?
You know, after I was here for a few years, there were opportunities to you know, I kind of thought about going to the network or whatever. I mean, I don't know what moving up would have been considered to be, Chicago or New York or whatever. But I really wanted to stay here. I was ambitious. I think I was extremely ambitious, but I don't think I was ambitious to go somewhere else. I was just ambitious to be good at what I was doing, and I felt like this was the best place to be. So, and I think I made the right move.
From what it's worth, I'd say yes, because it was great to have you on the air, and great for you to great to see those years. Now, a question I'm going to ask now, and I know this was reported widely when it happened 20 years ago, but you left Channel 4 for Channel 11, and that was not a small thing in the papers, not a small thing in the media circles.
Oh, that was a very difficult decision to make. I had two children in 2 years, and I, at the time at WCCO, I was doing the 5, the 6, and the 10 o'clock news,
mm-hmm.
and it was an extremely wild time in the media because the Twins were winning the World Series, the Vikings were going to the, you know, the playoffs. There was just so much stuff happening, and we were doing specials and traveling, and it was just crazy. I mean, it was working 24/7, and I was flipping out. I mean, I had a 1 and a 2-year-old at the time. And in the meantime, my contract had expired, and the station had not talked to me about renewing it.
Hmm.
And Channel 11 was calling me almost on a daily basis, saying, listen, we know that you don't want to be doing the 5, 6, and 10 and traveling, and we have a better offer for you. And they did. It was a better offer. For me, it was not to do the 10 o'clock news. And I was extremely worn out at the time. And I guess I was vulnerable at the time. And I made the decision to, I was going to have a year off because it was a no-compete clause. So I would be paid for a year not to work, and I would be able to stay home with my kids. And it was just almost too good to be true and too good to turn down. And so I took it, and it was a huge, I mean, it was a huge risk.
Right, because Channel 11 was...
I can remember the time people telling me, you know, other anchors who've done this in the same market have never been successful, and it's been ended their career. And so that was a, you know, that was a huge possibility, and I took the risk and thought, well, it's either going to work or it's going to end my career. And fortunately, it didn't end my career, but it was pretty difficult. I'll tell you that. It was pretty tough.
I imagine a decision not made lightly and a lot of emotion involved on both, you know, both professionally and personally. And Channel 11 was not, I mean, this, to keep in mind, they were reputable only for a few years at this point. I mean, they were a third place, yeah.
They were called the Care Bears.
Right,
in
right.
In fact, there was an editorial cartoon, and I can't remember what it said, but it was basically portraying me as a Care Bear. So I kind of went from this respected journalist to this, you know, cartoon Care Bear.
Well, you know, at least it broadens your resume a little bit. You can do that hard, you know, the hard nosed and intelligent Twin Cities journalist to the one who cares. And there's, we have so many of those Care 11 jingles that are very sugary and very very soft and sweet. Joan Stefan was here about 3 weeks ago, and we were playing some of those. She was laughing about those. So you made the switch. You went across town, but you were able to do lots of special documentaries or some special interview pieces. I just put one online this week talking to Yanni. Remember him, Tom? Yanni?
Oh, absolutely. Love Yanni.
Stanley Hubbard. There's actually, I'm going to play a quick clip here. This is from 1991. And Pat, you just, you know, made the jump from 4 to 11. And this clip, you're actually at the news desk at Channel 5. So let's take a listen to this.
Tonight, three of the best, brightest, and boldest Minnesota personalities, world-class bicycle champion Greg LeMond, innovative New Age composer Yanni, and the controversial leader of KSTP's media dynasty, Stanley Hubbard. Their stories and more on a Pat Miles special.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks for joining us tonight. Now, before you get any wild ideas out there, yes, I am sitting on the news set at Channel 5, and no, I haven't left Channel 11 for a job here. But in this business, anything can and does happen. And nowhere has that been more evident in the past few years than here at Channel 5. Stan Hubbard, the man who owns this company, has been in the headlines time and time again over the comings and goings of the anchor people.
Pat Miles at the Channel 5 news desk. So you made it on all three news desks, Pat.
I did. Can you believe it? Oh, that was so much fun to do those specials. I can't tell you. I want to say right now that the producer of those shows is Jane Helmke, who is now the news director at Care 11.
That is correct.
And she is, without a doubt, one of the most talented special people in the business. I mean, without question. And I had the great, great privilege to work with her, and she was wonderful and made those shows work in every way.
You interviewed everyone.
We had a ball. Oh, my God, we had such a ball doing those shows.
I think there's about three of them with Roseanne and Tom Arnold. I mean, that was the era of their peak, and there you are, their house on Lindale Avenue, just kind of taking a stroll with them. And
And then we went to Santa Monica where they lived, and I remember she got down on the floor and was rolling around on the floor. I mean, just the craziest stuff happened during those shows, and it was so much fun to do them. I mean, they were hard work. Trust me, it was hard work and a lot of travel, but oh, wow, we had a great time.
So you were doing the 5 o'clock news at Channel 11, and eventually you did the 5 and 6 o'clock news at Channel 11. You couldn't stay away from the 6 o'clock news too long, could you?
I couldn't stay away from the 6 o'clock news. And there was a point in time where I was going to do the late night news, and actually Paul Major stepped in, thank God, and said to the new general manager, "You cannot do that. You will ruin the station if you do that." And he was so completely right about that. Because I had left CCO, so I wouldn't do late night. And so for them to make me do the late night there would have been a complete disaster.
It would have been a PR nightmare for a lot of people involved.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
It would have been a public relations nightmare, I think, for a lot of people involved.
A PR nightmare?
Right.
Yes, probably.
So they kept you out, did 5 and 6, and then let's talk briefly, and this has come up in the papers before, but people do ask me, I mentioned Pat Miles was going to be on the show, they said, how is she doing? How's her eye? I hate to say that bluntly, but people do ask that.
I can't believe people remember that, but, you know, my eye is, I have an eye, which I'm grateful for. I can see out of my eye, which I'm extremely grateful for, and it looks fairly normal. I do have a disability. I mean, it's a chronically dry eye. I have, you know, issues with it. I heard an ad the other day about the two miracles in your head, and really your eyes are two miracles in your head. And you take them so for granted until you have a problem. But I think I'm lucky. I had a great doctor, and... You know, I live a fairly normal life, and it kind of ruined my career on TV. But honestly, I was at an age where probably my goal in television was never to get fired. And I really didn't want to get fired for being too old or too ugly or not deferential enough to men. So I accomplished my goal. Now, it may have taken my eye to do it, but I did accomplish my goal.
I understand a little bit about your eye as well. My mom actually has chronic dry eyes, and it's terrible in the wintertime. When the wind comes blowing through, you have to wear goggles practically the whole time.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's not fun.
It's
but
a challenge.
Like I say, I feel so lucky that I even have an eye, because there was a point in time where I wasn't sure I was going to be able to keep my eye. So I'm lucky. I'm very lucky.
We're so grateful that worked out for the best, and we miss you on TV, but we do get to see you. On tcmedianow.com, anytime anyone wants to, they can see Pat Miles anchoring the news. The news may be a little outdated that we're watching, but there's some great stories there. A lot of great history in Minnesota, and Pat, you were a big part of that. Pat, you did radio for a few years too at WCCO Radio.
Oh, I loved that. I loved doing radio. I actually started my career in radio. I was the news director at a radio station in Aspen before I ever did television. And I love radio. It's, you know, it's spontaneous. It's not scripted. It's just great. I loved it.
I recall when you left radio, and I remember Cindy Brucato, which the papers love to have, you know, created this kind of fake rivalry between you two. But I remember Cindy Brucato interviewed you, and she asked you, "Why are you leaving radio?" And you said, "Well, I want to retire." What's wrong with that? That was the best answer I've ever heard anyone ever give when they asked you why are you leaving or why are you taking off.
I just saw Cindy the other day. She's still doing television. I can't believe it. And she looks amazing, and she was marvelous. So kudos to her. I mean, she's remarkable.
Cindy has tried to escape Channel 5, I think, three times, and she continues to come back. And one of your Pat Miles specials, this is after she had left Channel 5 the first time, you said, what if Stanley Hubbard calls you tomorrow? Would you ever come back? And she said they would have to. Well, she had a whole list of demands, and I'm guessing they must have met those 18 years later because she came back into the 10 o'clock news for a while, 18 years later.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, but one of the things she said, and I think in one of the interviews I did with her, is she was angry because when she left, they didn't give her a cake.
That's right.
And I think, you know, 18 years later, they gave her a cake after they heard the interview, and I think that's why she came back.
The cake is a very important part when you walk out that door. If you can take a box with you, at least have some sugar before you leave, right?
Exactly.
Pat, I can't thank you enough for doing the show today. It's just great to have you on, and I didn't think I'd be able to get you on. I thought that Pat Miles is much too important, more important things to talk to us here in Flashback Twin Cities. But you've just been so charming, and I can't thank you enough.
Oh, Tom, listen, thank you, and thank you for preserving all of this. I think it's just phenomenal what you're doing, and my kids will thank you when they at one point have any interest in watching all of this. They'll actually see now what their mom did while she was not at home.
Well, and to just point one thing out, when Dave Moore said dropping the bomb, that you were pregnant in Dave Moore's last newscast, so it wasn't just to make sure everyone knows, it was not any more innuendo than the fact that you were pregnant.
Exactly. Yeah, he lived through two of my pregnancies with me. So,
Pat, thank you so much.
As did Don. So,
Pat. Pat, thank you so much for being on Flashback Twin Cities. We will be in touch.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Have a good day, Tom. How was that?
Oh, I tell you what, it's pretty darn good.
Well, I think we got another good guest next week. We got Gary Lumpkin. Remember Gary Lumpkin?
I do, actually.
What? Tell me about Gary Lumpkin. What did he do?
I don't even remember. I know the name.
Tom.
I know his family.
Tom.
You know, I can make things up, too.
Tom.
No, I'm just kidding.
Gary Lumpkin, if you recall.
Here's the thing. You know all these people, and I know the names. I haven't studied it as much as you have. I don't remember what all they do.
So you get the list. When you do the lunchtime request with Stan, you got to get these names up there. Stan has to give you the insight before I come and quiz you on Saturdays.
He, you know what? He quizzes me during the day too. I have to study before I ever come to any of these shows.
We have Gary Lumpkin of Good Company. Gary did everything. Gary did everything from bronco riding to swimming with the dolphins to testing cheeseburgers. Giving.
We can talk about swimming with the dolphins. I got to do that too.
That's right. You and Gary, he'll be in studio. You and Gary have a lot to talk about.
You know, actually, one thing I wanted to ask Pat, but I totally forgot to do it. Whenever I mentioned to anybody this week that she was going to be our guest, all the guys just went, ooh. Apparently, everybody had a crush on Pat when she was in the news.
You know, I should have found this, but there actually is a song for Pat Miles. Let's put it on the website. There's actually a song that someone created in 1982. It was a love, kind of a crush love song for Pat Miles. I think we'll put that on the KLBB website.
She has a crush love song for
someone. Someone actually recorded the song, and they aired it on a evening show on Channel 5. And it's I actually would frighten Pat if I played it for her, but we'll put it on the website. It's pretty funny. It's statute of limitations is worn out, but Channel 5 aired this. It was actually a kind of a crush song for Cindy Brucato and Pat Miles, and we'll put that on the website.
Is it incredibly explicit? I
hope not at all. It aired on local TV in 1982 when we were very sanitized back then.
Back then things were just a wee touch more innocent.
You know, we can love
at least we can pretend that they
were. We can try, yeah, exactly. Again, thank you to my guest, Pat Miles. We'll be back next week live with Gary Lumpkin. This is Tom Osmond on Flashback Twin Cities here on KLBB Club 1220.